Matthew chapter 19, if you would please, this morning. We're gonna won't be too long today. Matthew chapter 19. We're gonna start off with just singing this that familiar chorus, "Jesus loves the little children." Could you sing that with me? Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Pastor near Philadelphia wrote that little chorus and song in the early 1900s, and it's become very well known and sung just generationally since that time. We're going to look at this morning the fact that Jesus does love the little children, not just because the song itself says so, but because the Word of God says so and teaches us that as well. And so you're in Matthew chapter 19. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 15. And in this brief passage, we learn in terms of Christ's relationship to children. What type of relationship did Jesus Christ have with his children, with children? And we see that in this particular passage, but we see also as well, what should our relationship to children be and to Christ because of his love for children? How should we be emulating that in our life? And so we'll just go through some meditations, you might call them, this morning, and hopefully they'll be beneficial to us in developing the proper attitude as we think of the Lord's attitude towards children, those that were young and vulnerable. And so we'll do that. To kind of summarize what we'll be looking at this morning, the first thing that is going to become evident in this passage, as I'll just mention to you what we'll be covering, we'll see parental initiative in this passage. In other words, we'll see, that's kind of a short way of saying that parents who love Jesus bring their children to him for blessing. They show initiative. Okay, that is what they did when Christ was living and on earth and walking on earth. And that's what parents should still be doing today, is to bring their children to Jesus for blessing. If we as parents know anything about the heart of Jesus, the power of Jesus to change lives and to save, it should be our desire as parents to get our children to Jesus as soon as possible for his blessing, that they might know him. The second thing we'll be looking at is this principle of mistaken interference. And we'll be looking at the disciples, or real disciples, real people, Peter, James, and John, and others, and Andrew, who don't understand what matters to Jesus. And because they don't understand what matters to Jesus, they hinder children from coming to him. And that's what's going to happen in this narrative, that these disciples are going to hinder children from coming to Jesus. And that still happens today. And so if we have the heart of Christ in our lives and we understand the mindset of Christ and we have his attitude towards children then we will love children as well. If we don't have the mindset of Christ, if we don't understand his attitude towards children, then our interaction with children will not be as Christ would have it to be. And we may interfere from children coming to know Jesus, just as these disciples were interfering with that as well. And then the third thing we'll see is kingdom reality. And the simple principle here is that the heavenly kingdom belongs to people who are like children. The heavenly kingdom belongs to people who are like children's. You know, sometimes when we look at children, and there'll be a lot of them around here this week, sometimes when we look at children, the very thing that makes us think that perhaps the child doesn't understand or is not worthy or is not worth the time is many times the very thing that qualifies that child to understand what the gospel is all about. Okay? The problem is we as adults sometimes in our sophistication, in our cynicism, in our self-wisdom, we often start to lose a vision of what the gospel is really all about. We lose that vision. And then the last thing we'll see, and quickly, will be divine kindness. That Jesus blesses children. And so part of the reason that this account is given to us here in the Gospel of Matthew and other places is not just so that we can see that what happened in Jesus' life and what he experienced, but so we can understand what Jesus is like. That's why this passage is here, so we can understand what Jesus is like. And so if you consider yourself a child here this morning, young or old, you can be assured that Jesus loves you, that Jesus cares for you, that Jesus desires to bless your life. And so let's read Matthew 19 and start in verse 13 and go to 15. Then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Well, first of all, in verses 13 there, the first part of verse 13 to the middle of the verse is this parental initiative that parents who love Christ or love Jesus bring their children to him for his blessing. And the point is this, that as parents or grandparents, we ought to be taking the initiative of getting our children to Jesus, of leading them to Jesus, of bringing them to Jesus. Sometimes it's easy in our culture today with our churches and with our Christian schools and other people that are part of our children's lives that we can surrender that parental responsibility to be the ones that point and lead our little ones to Christ. But parents who love Jesus bring or lead their children to Christ for his blessing. It says in verse 13 that these adults, we don't know, we're assuming it's the parents. In verse 13 it says, and then were there brought unto him little children. We're assuming that it was the parents. The text doesn't tell us, but we're assuming that the parents brought their children to Jesus. And then it says that Jesus later laid his hands on them and blessed them and prayed. What does that mean, Jesus laid their hands on them? Well, if you look through the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see places throughout the scriptures where a father, a prophet, a rabbi, somebody in some position of authority or spiritual authority would show a personal interest in a child by laying their hands upon them and pronouncing a blessing or a prayer upon them, praying over them. You see that throughout the scriptures. And so these parents who cared about their children, and we as parents who care about our children, should be very desirous to have our children blessed and prayed over by spiritual teachers and leaders. And some of you do that as grandparents. I know when Jessica would drop on Mackenzie off to babysitting on Tuesday, now that we have Mackenzie and Campbell, she has one eye of the other. But, you know, when I was just Mackenzie and she'd be brought in, I'd carry her from the car into my house. She was just a little thing. She didn't know a word of English at all. But yet I'd just pause and say, "God, thank you for this day, our time together. Pray that you'll give us a good day." Okay? And just praying for blessing upon our children's life. A parent's heart, a grandparent's heart, is that their prayer is that children will have a heart that will belong to the Lord. That's what we want. Okay? Could you imagine what, you know, these parents could do to remind their children over and over again that Jesus Christ himself laid his hands on them and prayed for them and blessed them? The best gift that a mom and dad can give to their children is to pray over them. To give them back to God, to lead them to Jesus. Okay, as parents, we try to make sure that our children are well fed, they're well clothed, they're well educated, are cared for and equipped in every way, so our children can get off to a good start. We want that, don't we? As parents, sure we do, and we have that responsibility. But why leave out the most important reality of all? The necessity of the blessing of knowing God through Jesus Christ. We can't leave that out. Okay? You know, as parents, you and I, we praise the Lord for all the good and godly people that God has brought into the life of our children, because I really need your help to rear my children and grandchildren in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I need your help. Okay? We need one another's help as a church body to do that. But for me as a parent or a grandparent to neglect the showing Jesus to my children or grandchildren would be the worst neglect of my life as a parent. Okay? All the people that should show them Jesus, it ought to be those that God has entrusted to rear them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It should be our top priority. Okay? So the question as parents or grandparents this morning would be, have I given our children or grandchildren to Jesus? Sometimes we tend to think of them as our own, okay? Have we given our children to Jesus? I'm not talking about a formal baby dedication, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not what I'm talking about. But have you in your heart and in your interaction with your child given them to Christ? Have you given them over, and do you pray for them and for God's blessing? Do you as a parent or grandparent talk to your children about Jesus? Have your children heard his word through your lips? Do you explain to them the gospel, his gospel? Do you show them in your life and character the person of God shining out in love and joy and peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, and long-suffering? Do you let the character of God shine out in your life to your children? Children, all right? Grown-up ones as well, okay? If you grew up and are growing up with such parents, have you forgotten to whom you truly belong? If you're growing up with parents that have given you to Jesus, are leading you to Jesus, have pointed you to Jesus, have talked to you about Jesus, have you forgotten to whom you belong? Okay. Are you throwing off those prayers that started when you were even in the womb? Those prayers that continued even over your bed, at your bedside, and even continue today? Parents and grandparents praying for you and your God's blessing upon your life. Have you thrown off those prayers? Jesus cares about you. And Jesus welcomes, just as he did then, he welcomes parents or adults whose hearts love and break for their children and bring them to Christ for his blessing. Okay? If you've been introduced to Jesus in your childhood, and you accepted him as your personal savior, will you just toss him aside as some children's toy? Just as you did with a child, as a child, you played with all these toys and you could just so easily toss it aside and move on to another interest. Will you toss him aside for the sake of pursuing your own agenda and pursuing the world's lies? Okay. Or will you serve Jesus with the strength that you've gained as you've grown up? See? So if you wander from Jesus, think about this, young people. If you've been brought up in a home that has taught you Christ and has led you to Christ, has shared Christ with you, if you wander from Jesus, who will introduce your children to him? I see young people that I taught many years ago. I'll see them on Facebook. And I'll observe former students not living for the Lord, or maybe religiously or denominationally or theologically, they've gone astray. And I see them pictured with their children. And the question that enters my mind is that young person that I taught, that had been taught the scriptures, if they're not leading their children to Christ, who will lead their children to Christ? Young people, who will lead your children to Christ if you someday are not leading and following the Lord? So that is this idea of that we have here of Jesus, and that parents who love Jesus bring their children to him for their blessing. Number two, secondly, we see this mistaken interference. These disciples in verse 13, it says that and the disciples rebuked them. The children, they brought them unto Jesus that he should put his hands on them and pray for them, and the disciples rebuked them. Okay, the disciples did not understand what matters to Jesus, and they hindered Jesus' children from coming to him. Now, what was a disciple? Well, the word disciple means follower, learner. In other words, these disciples, these men, they were around Christ, and Christ was teaching them, and they were learning about Christ and his word. They were listening to what the master was teaching. They would learn it enough that they would then start modeling it. That's what a disciple is. They learned what the master taught, and then they internalized those truths, and they tried to live out those teachings of the master, and then they tried to then teach those to other people. That's what a disciple does. He learns, he models, he then teaches to other people. Well, they had obviously not learned Jesus on this point. They didn't understand what matters to him. If you look back in Matthew 18 and the part of chapter 19, and you look back at what the disciples were previously talking about, they were talking about some difficult stuff. They were dealing with wayward brothers in Matthew 18. Okay? Wayward brothers, take one or two witnesses, and if he doesn't hear you, do this. If he doesn't hear you, do this. They were talking about the kingdom of heaven. In verse 19, they're talking about divorce. And so they were talking about some pretty weighty stuff, and all of a sudden, here comes all of these little kids. Can't you see the disciples? What are they doing here? No, no, no. We're having some deep theology. We're solving problems here. Okay? We're solving problems. We're getting answers. We're having some great theological discussions. No. Get them away. Get them away. Okay? And so the disciples rebuked the people. No. Don't bring them. But what did Jesus say? But Jesus said, suffer or allow little children and forbid them not to come into me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Listen to what Mark chapter 10 verse 14 says. Mark 10, 14 says, but when Jesus saw it, it says in verse 13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked them, those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. He was indignant when they said, get the children away. We're too busy. Okay? And so Jesus was indignant. These disciples, they should have known better. They had evidently forgotten the master's words recorded. Look back at Matthew chapter 18, verses 5 and 6, what Jesus had said previously. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it was better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that they were drowned in the depth of the sea. Later in Matthew 18, verse 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven there are angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, angels are always looking out over them. God cares about them. Heaven cares about these little ones. So do not hinder these little ones from coming to me. What was it with these disciples? Well, evidently the disciples thought that Jesus was too busy. That's what we would think is, oh, Jesus is too busy. Don't disrupt him with these little, dirty little children. All right? That Jesus was too important to have time for children. But they were wrong. They were wrong. Jesus welcomes children. He blesses children. He prays for them. The reality is sometimes as adults, our Christianity becomes too sophisticated. Our Christianity becomes too elitist. Our Christianity becomes too debate-oriented. Our Christianity becomes too self-important. And what happens is we end up cutting people off that we consider to be weak or immature or simple or ignorant. We tend to then begin cutting those type of children, people off in our lives. And when we behave that way, folks, we are not thinking like Jesus. We're not thinking like Jesus. Because Jesus cares about the weak. Jesus cares about the immature. Jesus cares about the simple. Jesus cares about people that we would deem as ignorant people. Jesus cares about those people. He cared about me. He cared about you. If God hadn't chosen to show interest in us and reveal himself unto us, we would know nothing of what it means to be saved. We would just be, again, just deserving of hell as we are right now. None of us were smart enough. None of us were good enough. None of us were advanced enough to deserve a relationship with God. Okay? But God cared about us, and God cares about children. So if Jesus cares about children that way, then those that are his followers are his disciples who are learning to think and live and care like Jesus will care about children as well. So let's ask ourselves some questions. Do we see them? They're not on the same level as us, okay? They're down here, okay? So are we noticing them? Do we see them? They're not at our eye level. They're at other levels. Do we notice them? Are we interacting? And I don't mean children, I mean young people. You know, you understand. Are we interacting with them? Are we interested in them? Are we involved with them? Are we speaking with them? Do we show them kindness? Do we show them Jesus, or do we block the way? There's many a child and many a childlike adult who has decided Jesus is not for them because they are turned off by those who say they represent Jesus. Are we showing them Jesus? This morning, for those of you that are children, you may be as young as 5, 6, or 7 years of old. Most of them in junior church, but young people, you may be thinking that when you grow up, you will come to Jesus. That serving the Lord is something in the distance. All right? Some of you are in college preparing to serve the Lord. Don't wait to do that. That's not our philosophy here. Right? You're part of the church. You're part of the body. You serve the Lord now. And many of them will be doing that in VBS this week. That's the right mentality. That's the right heart. You may be a little child this morning, but you need to come to Christ now. You need to serve Jesus now. Okay? Little children, they're old enough to know that they're sinners, and they are sinners. They sin because they are sinners. And we need to tell them that only Jesus can wash away that sin and make them clean before God. And until that happens, they can't have a relationship with God. Until they're saved through faith in Christ and have that personal relationship with God, you can't then even live the life that God intended you to live. That you were created to know Him and to enjoy Him and to serve Him. But sin is in the way. Sin has separated you from God. So if you don't, if a child doesn't come to God and we don't encourage them to come to God through Christ, then they are left to pay for sin for themselves. And unless they trust Christ, or a person trusts Christ, they will pay for that sin in hell forever and never pay it. Okay. So why should you pay for it on your own or a child when Jesus has already paid for him? So we encourage our children to trust Jesus as their Savior, to receive the gift of His forgiveness. And Jesus loves the children so much, and He loved the world so much, that He died on the cross for our sins and for us. And so for those of us that are followers of Jesus Christ, let's not get in the way of kids coming to Jesus. This mistaken interference. Thirdly, kingdom reality. Verse 14, the end of the verse, it says, Jesus said, "Suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." The heavenly kingdom belongs to people who are like children. He said earlier in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Again, we might have a tendency to look down on children, on what children understand and what they can and cannot do. We sometimes look down on them, but they often have a better read on what salvation is really about than adults do that are around them. Children know they can't do it. Children are willing to let Jesus do it for them. Adults don't like being at the mercy of someone else. We want to be independent. We want to do it on our own. We want to feel like we're important, we're strong, we're smart, we've got it all figured out. And the reality is like a child, we have to lose that kind of blind self-confidence if we're ever going to be saved. See? The kingdom reality is heaven is for childlike people. Have you as an individual, no matter your age this morning, put childlike faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone as your personal Savior? Except ye come as this little child and humble yourself before God. And by faith, accept Christ and Christ alone, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Have you done that this morning? If not, come as a little child, humble, broken, trusting Christ. The last one, divine kindness in verse 15. "And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." Jesus blesses little children. Jesus blessed children when he was on earth. Mark tells us that he took these kids up in his arms. In Luke's account, it reveals that many of them were infants. And I'm sure some of these parents never forgot what a blessed experience it was to see Jesus, the Savior God, hold their children and bless them in prayer. So Jesus did that when he was alive, and still today, Jesus blesses little ones. Isn't it amazing what a very young child picks up in terms of understanding? You ever been amazed by that? Just, I mean, how did they pick that up? And many times they are more spiritually attuned than we can even imagine sometimes. And so we need to ask Jesus to bless our children, because we know that Jesus loves children. He cares for them. It says here that he laid his hands on them, but yet he went away. In other words, this opportunity of Jesus blessing these children was a fleeting opportunity. Soon he would be on the cross. And so the opportunity for him to bless these children was fleeting. And those of us that are adults this morning and have had children, you know it is still fleeting, because children don't stay children very long, do they? They grow up fast. And so for the opportunity for God to bless our children is a very small window. It's a fleeting opportunity. It needs to be our most important task. Parents, don't waste their childhood. Let's not waste their childhood. Kids, don't delay to come to Jesus. All right? Come to him while you're a child. Let him bless you from the very beginning of your time on earth. Serve him all your days. Because knowing him and living for him is the best life there is. Okay? And so Jesus loves children. And so we need, by God's grace, to imitate that love as well this week, but every opportunity we have to influence that next generation for Christ. If you haven't trusted Christ as Savior, come to him as a little child and believe on him. Okay? Skip, you come and close in prayer. Skip Campbell, I remember, I'm asking Skip to pray because I remember many, many years ago when his son Matt was not married yet and was kind of seeking the Lord's will. Skip, you would drive over to Matt's house or he would drive to yours every morning?
Yeah, 5 o'clock in the morning. We would pray for a whole year, asking God to show him a woman for his life.
Okay, and that's what we want to be, praying with and for our children. So let's stand. You pray for dads, grandpas, children, that we would allow God to do the work in our lives and the area of sphere of life that he is, to be faithful to him.
Just before I pray, I want to tell you that I was raised without a father, because my mother carried me 6 months in her womb when my father passed away. My dad died at 27 years old. I never knew my father. But I know my Heavenly Father, and that's the one that's the most important. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you most of all for Christ and what he's done for us at Calvary. For he truly was every bit God, every bit man, the God-man, slain before the foundation of the world. And Father, we pray for our fathers today, that they be the men that they need to be, that they would step out, that they would guide their families and guide their children and help them to love you and to serve you. We pray, Father, for our children and our grandchildren, that we might be an example to them, that we may love them, that we might serve them. We live in an age that children don't see a lot, Father, that is godly in this world. Father, I just pray that your people, your men, your servants, this nation would turn to you and love you and be the kind of man they need to be, and teach the children and bless these children, Lord. Help them to know you at an early age, to love you and serve you, and then go on and serve you with all passion and heart in their lives every day. Father, we ask that you bless this time today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.